were pastor of a community church in King City for about 29 years. During that time, we lived at 229 Carlson Avenue. Like, where else would I live? And you all live on the street that bears your name, I'm sure. But on the corner of 3rd and Carlson, we had five trees. And once a year, trees have the ability to, drop leaves. And so it was my chore and my job to rake leaves. And so I would rake leaves quite often. I would rake leaves. Very good. 10 seconds off, but that's no problem. I tell you guys, the reason I like to rake leaves is because being a pastor for 50 years, you don't always see, in fact, you very rarely see results in what you do. And so when you rake leaves, they pass. So I'm out raking leaves this one time, just raking here and raking there, raking away, and all of a sudden, what in the world is this? A $20 bill. Wow. Was it you who... And I looked around and there was nobody around. So my mom says, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. So I, there was nobody there, so I pocketed the 20 bucks. And did that ever encourage me to go out and rake leaves the next week? I rake leaves every week. And believe it or not, possibly a month later, I found another bill. It was a $5 bill. And then God quit sending us money. Anyway, the point is that oftentimes we get things for no merit of our own. We just get things. I want to give my watch away. This is not planned. Who wants my watch? Come get it, whoever. I'm serious. I do go to bed at 10 o'clock. Okay, you can. Sure. And now I don't know what time it is, so we may be here more than 28 minutes. Anyway, psychologists tell us that when you give something away, there's a chemical released in your brain that helps you have a good feeling, a well-being. And furthermore, it's also been proven that those who see something being done as a favor, like I just gave my watch to Desi, hope you enjoy it, you felt good about that too. There's just something about that that happens. In other words, what we're studying today is this, the power of giving back the deed, transferring ownership, in other words. And it's not just about a house that you see here in a moment, or two, or three. When you think of deeds, you normally think about a house deed, but it's more than just a house deed. It's the stuff that you've got. It's just what you have. In other words, I have a deed. I went to the dollar store last week, and I bought these things at the dollar store. And so when I walked out, I had what you call a, but it's also a deed to the things. So receipts are deeds. It's trying to make a point that when you get something, it is yours, and it's really important to remember that God gave it to you to start with. And so today we're going to look at first in your bulletin, 1 Corinthians 6:20. It just starts off by saying, you were bought with a price. Glorify then God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, this is what we are. First of all, in your bulletin, that which we are. When you were born, you were given an earth suit, as I like to call it, because God says in Genesis that from the earth he formed man in his likeness. So this is dirt, this is dust you're looking at. This is my earth suit in which I live. And when you were born, you were given a deed to the earth suit. When I was born, there was this document put in the courthouse in Memphis, Tennessee, which you can probably see better up here. And if you'll notice, my dad misspelled his name. That's really nice. L-L-O-Y-D instead of L-O-Y-D. Anyway, what I hold before you and you see on the screen is a deed. It is a deed to this earth suit that I live in. The Bible also tells us in Jeremiah 1, before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nation, that's what I had in mind for you. So when we were born, all of you were given a deed to the earth too. It's in your name. It's been documented at a courthouse. But there could come a time, and probably in most of your lives, when you were adopted. When born again, you were given a deed to adoption. When born again, you were given a deed to adoption. Psalm 139. If it's there, let's read together. Okay? Let's get to Psalm 139. I want you to read it with me. Okay, I'll just read it to you then. Oh yes, you shaped me first inside and out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculptured from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. So the idea is that before you were even born, God knew about what was going to happen to you. And the knowledge of that was very important for him to adopt you into the family. Some of you have been adopted. And when you got adopted, you changed your name. So we who are Christians have the same last name. And it is Christian. Say that. Christian. That's your name. That's your name that you're supposed to live by and go by. You got that when you were born again. You were then adopted into the family of God. So when I was born again, I received this certificate of baptism that says on May the 7th, 1944, I was baptized by Dr. S.A. Murphy at the Highland Baptist Heights Church in Memphis, Tennessee. This is proof of my adoption papers. So I have been adopted into the family of God. So when you read with me Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 3, we can see the words here. Let's read together. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. And so when you see here, it says here he decided to adopt us. God decided to adopt us before we were even born, adopting us into his family. Problem is, even though we have been adopted, we sometimes don't like to use our last name. We want to use a worldly name instead. And there's a song that says, take my life and let it be. Well, Jesus says that, take my life and let it be. We sing that too. You take my life and just let it be, forgetting that we have ownership of our property to give back to God. So the first point is this, that which we are, giving back the deed of that which we are. Secondly, that which we have. Just the things that we have. Does anybody have a ring here you just give away right away? Would you do that? Somebody take a ring. Okay. So she gave something away, and somebody received that. God is saying, I've got something to give you. I've got something to give you. The things that you have, and on your bulletin you can read, if we have something, we have the deed of that item. This lady had the deed of the item of the ring. She gave it away. Everything belongs to God. So if we have something, we then have the deed of that item, and everything belongs to God. And we could go through a whole list of the stuff and the things that you have. But I prefer to go to Psalm 50, verse 10. Every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I mean, that pretty much sums it all. God's got everything. Everything that you can see or think of, it's his. And we've just been given stewardship. We've just been given an opportunity to have these different things. We have hold or control over this deed. first is this in your bulletin: the deed over our family. Over our family. If I had an offering plate, I could show you and demonstrate what I'd like to do at this point. Do you always carry a plate with you? Okay, thank you. It's a very nice offering plate. So here's what I would like to do, and I will actually do it now. I will place the offering plate there, and then since I'm married, I have a wife, I'm going to take my wife, and don't be joking about this, guys. I'm going to take my wife and give her back to God, because, I mean, God has given her to me 44 years, 2 months, 1 week, 3 hours, and 10 seconds. This is my wife, and I love her dearly. But God can do more with her than I can, so I place her, I'm giving ownership of her, if you please, back to God. And then in the scripture, you'll find in Psalm 127, verse 3, read with me. Don't you see that children are God's best gift? The fruit of the womb, his generous legacy. And so you who are married, who have children, you can do what I do. It's not every day. I take my children, Kenny, Darren, Brian. I'm sorry about that. Kenny, Darren, Brian. And I put them in here, all five of them. And I say, God, I have been given them. I've raised them. Now it's time to give them back. I give my children at every age back to God and let God have them. And then when you have grandchildren, there are 12 of them, and I'm not even going to try that right now in front of all of you, but I take all 12 of them, and I give them back. In other words, the deed that I have to them, I give in the offering plate to God, because God can do more with them than I can possibly do with my limited knowledge. So in your bulletin, you see our family. And the second thing is this, our material things. Actually, in regard to the family, I think that we may treat our family differently if we realize that we've given them back to God. But the second in the bulletin is our material blessings. You know, just all the things. America is obsessed with things, all kind of things and stuff. And I was trying to think in my mind what I could illustrate here about returning the deed of my material blessings. So I was sitting in my office, and I was going through the streets of my mind, trying to think of something, and I had a 50-year-old thought, and the 50-year-old thought was the time when God blessed me with a brand new automobile. I'm 19 years old, and had my first church, and pastoring this church. Don't know how in the world they would listen to a 19-year-old kid, but anyway, God blessed me with this automobile, and a 1954 Bel Air Chevy convertible. The next car was a convertible, but this was the Chevy. And all my cars had names. This was called Carrot, obviously. Why? Anyway, in my massive filing system at home, I looked up and I discovered that 50 years ago, I fixed up this dedication program. And I'm not going to read it to you, but what happened, as it says here, after the church service was over, everybody went out to the front. And I read scripture how that God, in Nehemiah 12:27, at the dedication of the wall. And then I made comment that God does let us dedicate certain things because every perfect gift comes down from the Father, which is in heaven. And then I wrote these words, now that it is fitting and proper to dedicate, to give back this deed of the car to God. And so I dedicate this new automobile to the Lord. It was only through the grace of God that such a wonderful thing could be had. God has made it possible to have this, and it's rightfully His. At this time, I want to dedicate it. So it's like returning the deed to my car. And then went on to say about various other things. So as we dedicate this fine automobile, it is dedicated with the prayer that its various people sit in it, whether hitchhiking or not, that if I don't know of their salvation, I would speak to them about Jesus. Anyway, the idea was that at that time then, I'm so glad I did it then, that I gave back the deed to the car in such a way to try to explain, to motivate you to give back to God all of the stuff that you've got, all of the stuff, the material blessings. Number three in your bulletin, our money. Our money. This is what stewardship is all about. A lot of you people are brand new to the kingdom of God. You're new in becoming a Christian, and you don't know all that's in the guidebook. I'm not saying I do either. there is one thing in the God book that's very clear, has to do with our money, and that is tithing your gifts, your tithe, like we call it, tithes and offerings. It's really important. If you will follow with me in Malachi 3, let's read together. Begin by being honest. Do honest people rob God? But you rob me day after day. You ask, how have we robbed you? The tithe and the offering, that's how. And now you're under a curse, a whole lot of you, because you're robbing me. Bring your full tithe to the temple treasury, so there will be ample provisions in my temple. Test me in this, and see if I don't open up windows to you and pour out blessings beyond your wildest dreams. Now, I mean, I didn't make this up. This is God through the prophet Malachi, which is certainly good still today. I think when we get this concept of money and God's will with what we have, I think we'll treat our money differently as well. To give. Would somebody, would one of you men just stand up and open your billfold and show me a bill? Today? Okay. In the Bible, we have in the Old Testament, there are different kind of offerings, and one was called a wave offering. Would you just wave your bill? It's a wave offering. Okay, somebody come get it. Come get it, somebody. Come on, somebody, don't be bashful. Come get it. Where are you going? Now, according to my notes, that's not what you're supposed to do. That's very good. That's good. So she takes it. What I was going to ask that person to do was to go to an offering plate and drop it in, because she got what she didn't deserve. She got it from maybe a stranger, and she was going to give it back to God. Intense. You did that. You did that by giving it to one of my 12 grandkids who's going to be going on a mission trip. That's cool. And that's what it's all about. It's giving. It's giving to God. And so the story of one who illustrates this best is in Mark chapter 12. And this is a great story that Jesus told. And you can read it for me and with me, would you? One poor widow came up and put in two small coins, a measly 2 cents. Jesus called his disciples over and said, the truth is that this poor widow gave more to the collection than all the others put together. All the others gave what they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all. Now here's the story. And you can see in your mind, the temple is there. People are coming and giving their gifts. The big guys are coming with their robes and their fringes and their tassels. And I'm told that sometimes when they would come into the temple, preceding them would be some guy with a trumpet, like that, da 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 da. And all eyes would go, of course, where the trumpet sound was, and then behind the trumpeter would be the guy, come on, everybody, watch me as I give my money. But here we have this happening, and we have this poor widow who comes in and drops in her two small coins, and Jesus notices her. In your bulletin, what the rich man could not do, she did easily. What the rich man could not do, she did easily. Secondly, her penny became a fortune in God's eyes. And three, Jesus did not run over and help her out of her poverty, nor pat her on the back for being generous. Rather, he invited his disciples to see this invisible woman and the gross difference between abundance and poverty, between the $1,000 check and a penny. He did not dismiss the gifts of the rich. He didn't say they were wrong. He simply pointed out that the major characters were the minor givers, while the minor characters turned out to be the biggest donor of all. It all comes down to the motive and not the amount. Regardless of our financial status, everyone here has a mite to give. There's a song that goes, not a mite what I withhold. I think we're holding back with our mites. But the story is interesting because Jesus sees this, and then the woman disappears out of sight. But you know, she did not disappear out of history, because today, 2,000 years later, you're hearing and reading the story, and some of you, the very first time. So Jesus was very cool when he saw that widow, and he did what he did. Number four, our stuff. America has got so much stuff. Your garage is full of stuff. It's a huge category. We talked about returning the deed of our family, our material blessings, our money, and now just our stuff. We have so much stuff that many people, some of you maybe, rent storage sheds because your garage is full and you've got all this stuff that somebody else could be using. But we do. We just hold on to that stuff. Let me tell you this story. A little girl, her name is Annie. She's about 5 years old. She's got red bouncing hair. And so she goes with her mother to the grocery store, and the mother's pushing the cart, and she sees a string of necklace, and she pearls, and she says, "Mommy, can I buy that? Can I have it?" And she looks at it, $2.95. "Well, no, check your piggy bank when you get home, and then we'll see later." So little Annie gets home. She can hardly wait to open up her bank. She counts out 17 pennies. Then she says there's a dollar bill. She does a tour around the house for some more pennies. Aunt Jerrine gives her another dollar bill. She finally has enough money a couple of weeks later. So when her mother and they are at the grocery store, they pass by where the string of pearls was. And so she gets her string of pearls. And I tell you, she is so happy. She cannot believe that she's has a deed to this string of pearls. She wears them day and she wears them night. She just wears them all the time. Her mom says, "Don't take a shower with them because you know what will happen to them." But she loved her pearls. So in their family, like every night, the father would sit down with the daughter and he would tell her a bedtime story or read a story, scripture to her and pray with her. And then one night he said, "Annie, you know I love you? Yeah. Give me your pearls." "Not my pearls, Daddy, not my pearls." "You can have that Raggedy Ann doll that somebody gave me. You can have her, but don't, no, not my pearls." That's okay, honey. It's okay. Forget it." So the days go by, maybe the 3 days go by, and so after the time, just before he kisses his daughter goodnight, he says, "Annie, you know I love you. Yeah. Give me your pearls." "No, Daddy. I'm sorry. No, not my pearls. You can have the plastic horse with the funny colored tail, but not my pearls. It's okay. That's okay." A few days later, he came into the bedroom, and Annie was on the bed with him, like sitting Indian style. And tears were coming down her face. She said, "Daddy, you can have my pearls. You can have my pearls." And you know what happened? He reached in his back pocket, and he pulled out a case, and you know what was in it? The real thing. But as long as she was holding on to the cheap dime store stuff, that's all she had. And some of you are holding on to cheap dime stuff when God's